I'm joined now by student filmmaker Chris Olguin. Chris, welcome to Drive on 2SER.
Thank you for having me.
It's good to have you here, mate. Now, how long have you been making films for?
Since the beginning of time.
That is an amazing start to the interview. Well done.
I would say since I was a kid, you usually get a camera. It's the typical filmmaker story. You usually get a camera, you start filming stuff. For me, since it was at that peak of technology during the beginning of the 2000s, I started learning first stop motion with like Lego pieces.
Okay.
And that was like the first stepping stones before moving on to other things.
Did you make a stop motion film?
Many failed attempts.
Okay, cool. It's actually my favorite band is the White Stripes, and they have this stop motion. The film clip, the stop motion, that was from like 2002 or 2003.
Yeah, around that time.
Yeah, that's amazing. Cool. So, I mean, you started really early, but you're studying in a formal setting now. You're studying film or media at your university?
I'm studying media arts and production here at UTS.
Yeah, cool.
And so that's one part of my learning. My second part of my learning is working on local with local production companies around my place, and just getting different jobs through editing, script writing, and just keep learning.
Okay, so you're doing loads of stuff in the uni and also outside of the uni as well.
Yeah. So you have to have that balance.
You have a really interesting perspective, because in your opinion, do you think that there are things, even in 2017 now, where we have so much access to technology, do you think that there are still things in a formal kind of university setting that you just don't have access to if you're just out by yourself trying to make YouTube videos?
It actually kind of depends on the situation, on different factors. I mean, with university, you have access to, you have access to much more high-end equipment. Mm. You have access to tutors who can give you feedback on scripts. But on the other side, if you start working with, let's say your iPhone and a very simple video editing program like iMovie or something, then you can start working, I would say, you can be much more creative in that sense. They'd be much more formal and, the typical procedure of making a film.
So do you think that the concept, you're studying film in university right now, do you think that the concept, because of the rapid changes in technology, is like way different to what it was 20 years ago, or does it look about the same?
Oh, definitely different. Okay. Definitely different. I mean, anyone can just pick up a phone and make a film. And I know that the question, like, this is the main question every filmmaker, like young filmmaker like myself, we ask ourselves.
Okay.
Should we go to film school or should we study film at an institution?
Mm.
And it really, really depends, because that's the hardest question to answer. And there, if you go on YouTube and you ask that, there are hundreds and hundreds of different opinions about that.
Yeah.
So it actually depends on your learning process. Do you like to learn in a more academic way, or do you like to learn, on the streets?
Like hands-on kind of stuff.
Hands-on, grill stuff.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's a pertinent issue because YouTube can be your job now. There's YouTubers, and that's kind of like, that's kind of their vocation. They make films, they're pumping out loads of content, and they can sort of survive by doing that. So I guess it's something that a lot of people are interested in. I was looking at your YouTube channel, and it seems as though you're kind of, I guess the reviews that you were doing were leaning more to like the thriller horror side. Yeah. We were having a bit of a chat off camera about the idea of these really lo-fi productions. So do you think that there's maybe a particular style or genre that's really well suited to those kind of, getting out there with a phone and a cheap mic?
I mean, that also depends, because you can make a low budget horror film that has like a lot of blood and a lot of jump scares with an iPhone camera. But when you go over to, let's say, a thriller, you can still make that low budget, even much more at a lower cost than horror. But the only difference is that with thrillers or psychological thrillers is that they are more story driven, they are more character driven, and they take a bit more skill to be able to tell that story.
Okay. What about the way, do you think as a filmmaker about the way that the distribution of the content has changed? I guess now we were talking before about the idea of Netflix. So we have some things moving over to Netflix. Do you, as when you're going out making these films, do you think about the end product, about where this is going to end up and how that's changed?
I guess most of the time you're always like living in the moment. Like, okay I want to tell the story. I want to, just make something. And a lot of people don't think about the distribution part of it. I'm guilty of this myself. I haven't thought about the distribution part, but I'm grateful for like streaming services like Netflix, Stan, Amazon, Hulu. They give young filmmakers a bit of a chance to just go out there and get your content out, especially with something like YouTube available and being able to share that type of content to mass audiences.
Well, yeah, with the availability of YouTube, you just need to have the internet and then you can distribute your films, I guess. It's a revolution. So I saw a couple videos on your channel as well about if there are people out there listening and they're like, yeah, I thought that I wanted to start making YouTube videos, but they don't know kind of the first steps to take. What would your advice be to those people?
Don't go on YouTube if you want to make money, because you can't anymore.
Oh, okay.
Pretty much. Because of the whole adpocalypse happening, a lot of different businesses have been retreating from YouTube for a scandal happening many months ago, and that affected a lot of different YouTubers.
Wow.
So the revenue streaming has changed, but that does not mean you can't do it. It just means you have to put a bit more work into it.
I've always found that extremely complex about how you actually get money from YouTube. I don't know if anyone actually knows how that works. Do you know how that works?
I'm still figuring it out myself. Yeah. But here, so they have a program called AdSense where you're a part of, and as soon as a certain amount of money has capped off, they do send you a check, making sure that you still live at a certain address, and then you can cash in that check. So that's like the basic steps. But if you want to make money off YouTube, because my first advice would be, all right, if you want to be on YouTube, think of it this way. YouTube is more a body of your work, of what is it that you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to create some sort of a content plan, some sort of strategy where you're creating content, like very micro content. For my YouTube channel, script writing videos, film analysis, and just video essays on different topics, because that's easy to make than making a short film, I don't know, like once a month, and you burn out so easily.
Yeah, okay.
So you always want to spread out your work, be smart about it. If you want to go YouTube, start small. Start small, experiment, and then outside of YouTube, try actually getting a job that...
That's great advice.
that gets money in. I'm not talking about like work for magazines, no. Get a job
in the industry.
Yeah. Start doing some video editing, script writing, write some spec scripts.
Okay.
And that's how you pretty much start.
So also in terms of like a physical hardware side, can you just start with an iPhone? Is that a thing? Or do you need to buy loads of expensive gear?
Okay, there was a film that came out a couple years ago. It's called Tangerine. It got into the Sundance Film Festival and other film festivals. It's directed by Sean Baker, who's now made another film that came out this year. And that movie, like 90 minutes, was shot on an iPhone.
Wow. What about the audio, though?
The audio, that would be...
Do they have, like, a proper boom?
Yeah, they probably did have a proper boom because it got into a film festival. Yeah. So, of course, it would have the audio necessary for that.
Mm.
But if you want to start as a filmmaker, if you want to start making movies, your first investment shouldn't be a camera, because you pretty much have your phone... You have your, camcorder or anything. But if you want to really be a filmmaker, invest in audio equipment.
Okay.
Because that's the first...
So you need to get a good microphone.
Yeah, because...
Interesting.
Audio is sort of like an invisible art. You might have the best visuals. For example, I just saw Blade Runner a couple days ago, and it was visually just beautiful. It was stunning. And the audio... is invisible to all of that, because you're paying so much attention to the visuals. The visuals are supposed to capture you. The audio's job is supposed to immerse you into the film without you even noticing.
Okay.
That's pretty much audio.
Okay, so you can use a camcorder, but get a good microphone. I think that's a pretty good advice for any aspiring filmmakers. Chris, thanks so much for coming on and having a chat to us here on Drive.
Thanks for having me.